You're listening to the Thank God for Nostra podcast.
All right, welcome to the Thank God for Nostra podcast. My name is John, also known as Huddlebot, a developer of the Coracle and Flotilla Nostra clients. And today I'm interviewing UTXO, the webmaster now. Thank you for joining me, UTXO. It's nice to see you again after a long time.
Good to see you too, man. Thanks for having me.
So we've got a lot to talk about. I think you've got a lot of interesting insights, and a lot of the projects that you've been putting together lately have been super interesting and things I've been sort of waiting for someone to do for a long time. But to get started with, could you just give a little bit of background on yourself, how you got into Nostra, what makes it interesting to you, just whatever kind of stuff you want to share?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. UTXO, the webmaster, also known as Barry. I'm running Bitvora.com right now. But my start in sort of like freedom tech started sort of like in 2020 working on BTC Pay Server. So that was like my foray into like Bitcoin, open source. When it comes to Nostra, I joined in like that big wave, the first Jack wave, you know. So came in during that time, went to Nostra Rica, started to become friends with Fiat Jaff. So sort of like all those things came together for me, and I just got hooked on it. You know, it's so easy to just build whatever you want on Nostra. It's really exciting. So yeah, I guess we're 3 years in now. It was like 2022. So
yeah, it is. It's getting to be a long time. What was the first thing you built on Nostra?
The first thing I built was actually something called relaying.io. It's not up right now, but basically it was like relay as a service. So you pay a monthly fee and we'll host your relay for you. So, I mean, just like way too early for that. You know, there's like four people who subscribed. It's not like a viable business. So that's sort of why I just, you know, we'll just let Nostra chill before we start trying to make money on it and just like build the tools, build the open source software, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. There were a whole bunch of those services that popped up. Nippo 5 was another popular one. Like, oh, this is trivial to build. I'm going to throw it together and see if I can collect some business. But yeah, like Nostra was way too small. It's probably still too small, but people are starting to think about business. And I think Nostra is continuing to grow pretty well, although it's hard to tell exactly how many users we have. It feels busier though lately. Would you agree, or like what's your take on that?
I think it is growing. It's so hard to say because people try to scam the introduction so much. Be like, oh, I'm a new user, you know. Help me test my Zapple. But I do like just my general sense is that it's growing. I am seeing like new users that comment a lot more that I haven't seen before, like quality users. So yeah, it does seem like it's growing, but it's still slow, you know, like if we're trying to compare ourselves to, I don't know, like a Blue Sky or something like this, like we're still super small.
Yeah. And there have been a lot of events now that Nostra is a little bit established. You know, every time people get disillusioned with Blue Sky or whatever it is, we start to see waves come in. We're actually a destination like Mastodon was for 10 years, you know, before they had their big uptick a couple of years ago. So going back in history a little bit more, you were working on Nodeless when we met 2 years ago. And I like, it's kind of unrelated to Nostra in a lot of ways, but I thought it was a really cool project and you went through some hassle with it. And I wanted to like camp on that for a minute just to, because I think it's instructive for developers in open source. For, you know, riding the line between dealing with regulations and creating sovereign solutions. So could you like just talk about that a little bit and tell the story of what happened and what your takeaways were from that experience?
Yeah, so Nodeless was like an e-commerce payment processor for Bitcoin. And the way it worked was if you're a site owner or like a store owner, you could accept Bitcoin payments. Nodeless would accept the payment and then we would forward the payment immediately to you. So it was like, I don't really like to call it custodial because we only like hold the funds for like 5 seconds or what, however long it takes to actually make the Lightning payment. But it still technically is custodial, I guess, at least from like the regulatory perspective. So, you know, the government didn't really like that. Like, it wasn't free and open source software that people ran like BTC Pay Server. Like, we were a centralized company that people could come after. And unfortunately, they did. You know, we had the project was starting to do really well, especially because Jack tweeted about it. And that was actually huge. Like, we got thousands of users on that day and it was starting to do really well. But the problem is, well, not the problem, but like what was happening was all of these like news agencies were covering it as like, oh, it's this no KYC, sovereign, anonymous Bitcoin payment platform. And it was like, there was nowhere to hide at that point. So basically we got a letter from the regulatory agency here in Canada called FinTrack. And basically they just ask, hey, where is your license? They're not like, hey, you're going to go to jail or something. They're just like, where is your license? We don't see it, basically. And, you know, we didn't have one. So, you know, they weren't like, hey, you're going to go to jail. They're just like, hey, you need a license. You can't operate this business unless you have a license. And part of the license requirements were that you do KYC on all your customers. But I had already promised, the whole notion of Nodeless was that it was no KYC. And there were plenty of other customers or like services you could have used that were KYC. The reason people chose Nodeless was because of no KYC. So I didn't think it was fair to do like a shotgun no KYC on them. I thought it was the more fair solution to just make the whole business open source so that you could just now run your own instance of Nodeless and not have to rely on us. But I mean, we're damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know, because people like Nodeless because they didn't want to run nodes. So now when we open source it, we're like, hey, if you want to keep using it, now you have to run a node. So that's sort of what happened. But it is seeing success, you know, modest success as an open source project. Like I do, there are dozens of people that are running their own instance of it as a payment processor, as sort of like an alternative to BTC Pay Server. Because what it actually does really well is you can host sort of like all your friends and family, like all their Shopify stores, or if you have multiple stores. It works a little bit easier than BTC Pay Server for like a Uncle Jim type of model. So yeah, the project is still alive and people are still using it.
Yeah, I thought that was a real Chad move when you open source the whole thing. You were just like, all right, well, here it is. I created value. I'm not going to shut it down. You know, it's so frustrating to use a product and then then get rugged when it gets acquired or something like that. You know, like I was just dealing with a Skiff email address yesterday that I still have something attached to, and I just can't get into the account because Skiff is gone forever. Notion, you know, killed it. So that's pretty awesome of you that you did that. Is this so that kind of like pass through model? It sounds similar to Geyser. They take a fee, but I think they have it set up to be non custodial. Is that right? Is there a reason you didn't use the same technical approach that they did, or?
I guess a couple of, so yeah, Geyser is not custodial. So they did it quote unquote the right way. I feel like even if we did that, even if we did like approach it from that technical standpoint, we would still have a fight with the government. Like they're not going to understand that. And they might not agree. Like we could be like, oh, look at our tech. It actually is not custodial. They'll be like, whatever. We don't care. Where's your license? You know, like, But I mean, I guess just to answer your question directly, we didn't do it because it was just much easier and cleaner this way. Because when we run the node, we have more control over the reliability. Whereas like if someone, like let's say I'm using Geyser and then I put my little like Tor Umbral node or, you know, Zeus Pay or something, like it's not going to be as reliable as like, you know, a big centralized node with a lot of connectivity. So, you know, that UX of like high reliability on Lightning payments was like a key part of what the product was doing.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I've had trouble with my Geyser address because I run the node and it's my own fault. What's your take on something like AlbiHub? You know, I think they made an awesome decision last year when they decided to shut down their custodial product and push everyone to AlbiHub because the user experience is just fantastic. Like I can run a server, but I almost didn't have to run a server. It was really like a single line bash script after spinning up a VPS to get AlbiHub going. It's within the ability of someone who's just normal person, non-programmer, but a little bit adventurous. And now I run my own node. I had to open a new channel last week because I wasn't getting payments, but it's been really, really easy. And it is actually self-custodial, which is awesome. What do you think? Have they done it really right? Or like, are there big trade-offs there in your mind? Or,
well, I mean, I think Albi is a great product for more hardcore. You're still a pretty hardcore Bitcoiner if you're using Albi. You're just maybe a little less technical, but you're still kind of technical, you know, and there's still things that can go wrong in an LSP model, you know, like your node can still be like chain status borked and have all sorts of weird conditions that you'll run into where you might have to like recover your sats. So it's still really difficult. I think it's an important product in the market, but I think, you know, my view on Bitcoin is like, I want Bitcoin literally in every single store. Anytime I buy anything on any website, it should be just as pervasive as Visa and MasterCard. And I don't think that's possible in a self-custodial way. I think all of these businesses and just regular people, they don't want to know that much about Bitcoin and like have to run infrastructure or anything like that. They just want it to work and they want it to be simple. So I don't see AlbiHub as like something that's going to bring mass adoption, but I think it's a great tool for people who are already like really into Bitcoin.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, so I discovered this morning when I was looking at your profile on Nostr to see what we should be talking about, sounds like you're running a new business called Bitvora. Are you the founder of that?
Yep.
Okay. It sounds very similar to Nodeless, except it is regulated as is required. Is it like running Nodeless in the back end, or did you kind of start from scratch with that?
Started completely from scratch. So learned a ton through Nodeless. It was like my first big like Bitcoin app. And there are a lot of things that I could have done better. But like after you already build it, you're like, well, I'm not going to rebuild it for no like UX upgrade. I would say it's like at a higher level. So Nodeless was like just trying to do e-commerce payments. It was really only for receiving Bitcoin. So like you couldn't build a wallet. There's no real API for sending and receiving Bitcoin. Whereas Bitvora, what we're really trying to focus on is just being like the very best node runners ever. So like all the infrastructure, all the liquidity, like all the like really hardcore stuff, we take care of all of that. And then we expose an API that like regular developers who know nothing about Bitcoin, they just like want to be like, send $10 to Lightning address, you know, like just one little API call. So that's what we're trying to do is like expose Lightning nodes and regular on-chain too, like just expose Bitcoin Lightning APIs that are super simple for like everyday developers to just get started with Bitcoin without having to like learn anything, spin up infrastructure, whether that's even on testnet, mainnet, signet. So we're trying, like that's sort of what we're trying to do. So of course you can do e-commerce payments in that setup, but it's a lot more flexible. Like you can build wallets. We're talking with exchanges right now, so exchanges can do deposits and withdrawals with Lightning. So that's sort of more of our focus, is just like the infrastructure side.
That sounds awesome. How long has that been going now?
So it's been like over a year of development, but the actual like launch into market, we're about 6 months, just under 6 months now in market.
Nice. That's awesome. That's very exciting. Sounds like a great product. I'm glad I didn't go this direction, but right before I started working on Nostr, I was working on like a Bitcoin database kind of thing. So you host your own and you provide a Lightning address and you basically have the client developer pass through payments from the user to the data host. And so if you want to store some data in a key value store or upload a piece of media or something like that, you pay a Lightning transaction and the client doesn't handle that money. It just goes straight from user to infrastructure. It's a cool idea. We got some of that with Nostr and we're getting some of that with projects like Bitvora. So I'm glad I didn't start in that space. Although if I had done that 3 years ago, I might have figured it out, but I don't know.
Well, now we have Zap to Blossom, you know, basically. Yeah, yeah, same idea.
It's so cool to see this stuff getting built in a much more open protocol kind of way than just having a product that everything's based on. I remember what I was going to say earlier, like, you know, as far as like regulation goes, I've been doing my capital gains taxes for Bitcoin, and I have, you know, thousands of transactions from the past year, and across like 15 wallets or something like that. Unifying all that stuff and reporting on it is like not only onerous but like maybe impossible. And so I just called my senator, my Idaho senator, who's like chair of the FinCEN or like the financial committee now this year. And so I'm going to talk to him later and ask him to change the status of Bitcoin in the United States so that we don't have to pay capital gains, because making this work for merchants, I think, hinges largely on that regulatory side of things. Like merchants are going to have, you know, the bookkeepers that are necessary to do the paperwork, but buyers are not going to. Like it's such a pain. Moving from the store of value to the medium of exchange sort of function. Do you think like we're almost there, or do you think it's just going to be cypherpunk nerds for the next 4, 8, 10 years?
I mean, I definitely can't see the future, but I can tell you the present, and we are not there and we are not close to there. The volume is extremely small, but it is growing. Like I do see on a lot of e-commerce sites, like I also own some like AI e-commerce sites, and I see every year, like I've been accepting Bitcoin payments since 2020 on those sites. And every year the amount of Bitcoin transactions goes higher, like the percent of total sales. And even recently, like I'm seeing a lot more Lightning. Like I don't promote my AI businesses like on Nostr or whatever. Like I stick it to just like Bitcoin. Nobody knows me, nobody knows it on Nostr, just organically out there in the wild, like there are more and more Lightning users. So that's really cool to see, but it's still extremely small. Like I'm offering a discount and you'd save 10% on all your purchases if you pay in Bitcoin, and still less than 3% of sales go through in Bitcoin. So it's not close, man. And just like, you know, go walk down the street of any big city. Like I can walk down Toronto, there's maybe like 3 stores in one of the biggest cities in North America that accept Bitcoin, you know? So it's not close.
Yeah. Two-sided markets, brutal, really hard problem. But yeah, I do think we're getting there, just slowly, one piece at a time, one crazy idealist at a time, I guess. So this is a good place to transition into Nostr stuff. We were talking about Bitvora, and one of your projects that I was looking at this morning is Aegis, which is a relay backed by Bitvora. Is that basically right?
It uses Bitvora as the payment processing.
Right.
Yeah, like Bitvora. So we like have an open source arm. So we are delivering like open source software to the community, but we're not like, I wouldn't say like we're backing it or like making any guarantees or whatever. We're just trying to help Nostr along. Aegis.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just mean that from the technical perspective, the payments are backed by Bitvora. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have to run a node or like spin up a BTC Pay server to accept payments for Aegis. And it's like it's a premium relay plus Blossom server that anyone can run and like start their own relay business.
So what's the mechanism for that? Are you using, so there've been people playing with all kinds of different ways to do this, from eCash to Lightning payments. But to my knowledge, there's no NIP that sort of specifies a protocol that clients can build in. Or is there something that I've just missed?
It's not like a Nostr protocol. It's just like it's custom relay software, I guess. So you make a payment to Bitvora. Bitvora sends a webhook to the relay saying, hey, this person paid. And then we maintain a little whitelist database on the relay. So that's sort of the mechanism of how it works. But it's a basic relay, you know, it's the Khatru framework. It's so good. If anyone hasn't used it, like definitely use it because it's so easy to make relays with it.
Yeah, I'll look at the source code for your projects from time to time. Whenever you release a new thing, and I'll be like, how do you pull this off? And it's like 12 lines of code, just invoking Kachu and calling a function. Like it's so simple. I like Kachu a lot too. I think there are some bugs in it that are still latent that need to be worked out, but it's pretty good and it's decently fast too.
Yeah. And at least for me, like when I have bugs, I can bug FiatJaff about it right away. And I don't feel bad about harassing him a lot because he also harasses me a lot. So, whenever I find bugs, he fixes them pretty quickly for me.
He's super responsive, especially with those projects that are kind of libraries that other people are using a lot, Kachu and Nostr tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So with Aegis, is the payment UX basically like you go to the relay URL and you're presented with an HTML page that the user then sends Bitcoin via?
Yep, exactly. You put your NPUB in, it shows a Lightning invoice, you pay it, and then you're done. You're added to the whitelist as a payment goes through.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about how that might be integrated into clients or like whether it should? I feel like there's a big disconnect there and has been for a long time. Like with Nostr.wine, they have the same UX, but and they have users, but they kind of have to market for them. They can't really just, you know, people connect to Nostr.wine all the time and Nostr.wine drops their connections because they're not paying members, but they never get notified in their clients because there's a million notices coming through. I played around with that and like trying to surface that a little bit more in Coracle, but it's hard to, kind of balance bothering the user about stuff they don't care about without having, maintaining like relay whitelists and blacklists and stuff like that. And then of course, that's a whole other dimension of technical, user interface space. Do you have any like thoughts on the path forward on that kind of thing?
I mean, to me, it's pretty low priority. Like, yeah, we could come up with a NIP for like renewing relay subscriptions. Like we could do that, but really, I don't develop clients, right? I only develop relays. I want to be semi-cognizant of like what I'm asking, like what I'm complaining about with clients. But my big two things that I complain about right now are outbox and relay feeds. So I don't want to add to the fire and be like, oh, and you should also do relay subscription NIPs and whatnot. Like if I'm going to ask for my two things, it's outbox and relay fees. I would say it's a very low priority compared to like some other things that we desperately need.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, obviously I've got relay feeds and outbox, but I have not done anything on the payment side of things. I feel like, payments is almost like, well, it needs relay operators to be involved in solving it because clients are kind of going to be kind of motivated, but if there's no mechanism for paying any relays, then it's kind of hard to know where to start. Whereas, but if we don't solve this, like relays become a little bit of a volunteer only thing, which could be okay, but maybe not. I mean, like outbox plus payments, especially like non-subscription payments, that's like, I'll send you 3 sats to access to respond to this this request or whatever. What are your thoughts on micropayments for that kind of thing?
One of the coolest things that I've seen is they send eCash in a REST header. So like as long as eCash is in the header, like the server will reply with, whatever you paid for. So like I do think that's pretty cool. But just like on Nostr, like we have payments with Zaps sort of already, right? So if you're a relay or any kind of service and you want to check for payment, you can just check for a Zap from like a trusted Zapper, like whoever's publishing the Zap receipts. So I think clients could like already build something pretty cool with that, can like already build UX with like the NIPs that we already have technically. But I don't know, I guess I just still see Nostr as like so small that the like commerce and payments and business, like this type of thing should really take a backseat to just like normal making the user experience so good. So because like we're not very sticky, man. Like most of the data shows that people try Nostr and then they leave. The only ones who stay are like kind of the crazy people like us, you know, that can take horrible UX.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think is the main source of UX, just like poverty, you know? Which one?
Yeah, man, I don't want to like dump on my friends, you know? Like every client has their pros and cons of like what they do well and what they don't do well. I think that people want to like see great content right away. So they don't want to have to like learn what relays are or how they work. They want a feed generated really quickly. Like they don't, I see all the time, it's like, how do I follow people? And like, who should I follow? Like if you're on a client, or if you just like take a hint by like how the other big social media companies do it, is you would follow maybe like 3 or 4 people, and then it can start recommending or build an algorithm around you to start showing you great content right away. That's like, hey, this is cool. Whereas we're like right now on a lot of clients, either you see a global feed, which is like full of porn and different languages, it's just all over the place. Or you follow like 3 people and you don't have a feed, you know, it takes you like days to actually like build a meaningful feed. So I just think that whole like onboarding, getting started right away is like very clunky on pretty much all the clients, except for like maybe Primal, but even Primal, you still have to like dig to find trending and stuff. Like nothing is really like algorithmic by default for new users. So that's sort of like my take on it. Of course, like all the people on Nostr are going to say that's not good. And why Nostr is good is because we have all these things. It's like, yeah, well, we've self-selected for that. Like all the people who like that are here on Nostr, but we want to reach the people who did not stay. And in my view, those are some of the reasons why they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take. And obviously you've done a bunch of work to try to make that happen, which I want to get into. yeah, like algorithms as a whole, I agree. Like the onboarding processes are pretty clunky, pretty bad. And then they land you on a page with like no content or all the content, and you need something to bootstrap. Like I know that a lot of other social media solutions kind of let you pick topics, but if you pick topics in an open network without any sort of web of trust filtering, you're just going to get global again, people who spam topics, you know. And there's other like an interesting, like very short conversation I had recently was about the, you know, working on performance versus adding outbox support. And they're kind of like two sides of the same coin. And the question is, well, which one do you do first? Do you want everything fast and not loading at all? Or do you want things to load but slowly? And I've taken the load but slowly approach, or at least attempted to. And I was talking to Will because he's been working on NoteDAG for a long time. He's taken the fast but no outbox support. And, you know, like outbox support, it affects the whole network, and then speed affects just your app. So like, obviously I have a particular position on that, but neither one is really feasible. I mean, people don't use Coracle because Pablo asked me if the t-shirt that I created, was just all spinners. G Sovereignty made humble.horse a while ago, which is just a page with like 12 spinners on it. It was the same spinners that Coracle has. So like touche for sure. So like algorithms, just in the abstract are an interesting thing because, you know, everyone's kind of like sick of algorithms that are provided by the platform rather than, controllable by yourself. And so follow lists are the reaction where it's like, I follow these people, just show me their content. And that's great if you already have a network that's built up and you know who to look for and who to find and stuff. But bootstrapping is a lot more complicated. As a user who's been on Nostr for a long time, I have, you know, a bunch of different feeds that are configured in Coracle, but I use almost always my follows feed. The one I use a little bit more is like a time zone offset follows feed. So I just look at what people who I follow have said 12 hours ago. And so that gets me Europe, as well as just United States, which is helpful. But, you know, I've tried some of the algo relay stuff and other algorithms via DVM and stuff like that. Or even like likes, you know, if you just look for stuff that people you follow have liked, you get fairly relevant vetted content, but none of those are actually that interesting to me. Maybe it's because I like hide media. So I'm not like there for the memes. I'm there for like actually keeping up with, the people that I follow. So maybe I'm a little unusual in that way, but yeah, like tell me about the relay feeds and your thoughts on all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have nothing against having a chronological follow feed. Like, obviously, I use Nostr, and I like that too. And that wouldn't go anywhere if we like added algorithms as like another way to feed or any relay list, you know,
yeah, whether it's a make it go anywhere.
Yeah, you couldn't make it go anywhere. Like, I see these as absolutely complementary. So some of the issues that I run into just like as a user of Nostr is, you know, like I follow a lot of people on Nostr. So my chronological feed fills up really fast. Like I could sit there and scroll for 20 minutes and I haven't even made it past like an hour of people's posts. So if someone posted something really cool 3 hours ago, I might just never see it. And I don't like that. You know, a lot of times when I use Algo Relay, I'm actually finding all sorts of new content from people I already follow. It's not surfacing and doing anything crazy. It's just people I already follow. They just posted at a time that I didn't look at Nostr. So I think that improves the UX a lot. But I think the other thing too, like we don't have this issue yet, but we will if we got big, where if you take something like Twitter, Twitter learns what you hate really fast based on like your reactions, like the sentiment of your comments and whatnot. When the opposite type of algorithm could be built, like we could just show you things that you absolutely love all the time. And you're just like pure good times and good vibes in an algorithm. Like Twitter's not going to make money if they did that. So they don't, but we're not really interested in that, like for algorithms. So I think all sorts of things could be built, you know, like things that you like, you know, you could build a rage bait algorithm. You could build chronological. It could be follow only. It could be viral only. Like, I just think having all of these options will make us, it makes us that killer app. It's like, yeah, you can have, you like TikTok's algorithm or you like Twitter is rage bait. TikTok is like viral or whatever. Like we could have both of those on one platform plus chronological feeds plus whatever you want. So yeah, like I'm so bullish on that, but I don't see much being built on the algorithm front. Like there are a couple DVMs, but even the DVMs that people are building are not really algorithmic. They're just like popular on the network. You know, so I don't see too much work being done in this place, which is why like I was so excited for Algo Relay and I applied for a grant for it and stuff because I think it's something that we really need.
Yeah, I agree. Like I'm very, very pro algorithm when it's decoupled from the interests. Like, you know, fixing the incentives fixes so much other stuff. And yeah, I find it very interesting too that there aren't a lot of algorithms out there. It's probably because it's kind of hard to write stuff like that. And you need to do some graph analysis and that sort of thing, even if it's pretty lightweight. And then also you have to run a server or infrastructure in order to actually serve the request. So like, I feel like that's maybe just the higher bar than a lot of people want to get into, but you're not afraid of running servers. And so you've been doing that, which I really appreciate. I mean, the UTXO Algo Relay is probably the best algorithm that I've seen so far. There's one by like, I think Nostr.band has a few, Primal has a few, but yeah, like yours is quite good because it's based on your actual network of people rather than sort of like content analysis instead, which can be, you know, like it's very vulnerable to Sybil attack, whereas Web of Trust is much less vulnerable to that. But yeah, like people were talking about algorithms last year a whole bunch and they never really surfaced. Obviously Will is working on his Nostr script stuff. And then I've put together my custom algorithms, or like custom feeds spec, which is all client side, which I think has some neat advantages, but it also has the disadvantage of like negative filters are very hard to do because you can't query negative filters right now. And maybe never will. I don't know. We'll see. But like, you know, I muted GM a while ago. I know. I don't say GM back. I'm sorry, everyone.
Bad boy.
It was great. Like, I got way more signal because I'm not really here to like have fun. As bad as that makes me sound, I'm here to like get things done and keep up on what other people are doing on Noster. So that works for me. I've also heard people float the idea of like muting Bitcoin, you know, because like Noster is largely Bitcoin content. And, you know, I've heard this from Bitcoiners who are like, I'd like to see some less Bitcoin content. Yeah, I like Bitcoin too, but like, let's talk about something else. So I think those are compelling use cases that something that's entirely client-side can't really solve. Is that something that you've looked into at all? Because if you have an index, I don't know what your architecture looks like, but if you have an index of the content, you can do the negative filters a lot more easily and just say like, you know, put it in the, I don't know exactly how that should be communicated, whether you have like a not bitcoin.utxo.1 relay or something like that. But
so I actually think we could, like, we're going to have something very, very close to that without you having to specify. Basically, we'll just learn. So the way Algo Relay works right now is like, yeah, it does look at your graph, but really it's looking at your actions. So what do you like? What do you comment on? What do you zap? And like, not zapping something and not liking something is also a signal that we get. Yeah, you follow someone, but you never like their post. Like, that actually is a signal that we can take. So let's say you don't like Bitcoin stuff. Once we build our classifier, so every time there's a post, like, we can use a classifier to determine the topics. On that note, we can just be like, hey, HODLBOT never likes Bitcoin stuff. So just stop showing it to him. You know, he always likes these like pictures of cats or whatever it is, whatever the topics are. So we'll just try to show you those topics more often. And then it will sort of naturally happen. I don't know if we'll ever get a dislike button or nip or something, or maybe like, maybe we could classify certain emojis to be like negative reactions or something like this. And then we could have an additional signal, like if you dislike something. But right now we could use omissions of topics to like help rank things for you, or derank them in this case.
Yeah, I think the reactions nip, I can never remember what it is, but Kind7 has a minus, I believe, defined, which is a dislike. But I think like client developers have revealed a preference for positive reactions only, which is interesting in itself. And I agree with that. I don't have downvotes. Downvotes make sense in some situations, but they're pretty nuclear, you know. Like, if you're downvoting something in a lot of contexts, like Stack Overflow or something, you're basically saying it's spam or done in bad faith or something. Whereas, you know, a dislike is really a light thing and should probably be considered less weighty than a like, potentially. But yeah, it's interesting. I think we have it, but no one's really used it at all. The way I use likes too might break that algorithm. I occasionally like things for the content, but I usually like replies as a way of telling the person that I saw their reply and read it without having to type out a whole note and Kind1 in response. And so, like, I don't know if that would result in me only seeing replies to my own content, but that would be terrible if so. But
yeah, no,
it, reality of algorithms is nice. So
yeah, the way our algorithm will work, because like the algorithm will know if you're liking a reply or like a root note. But it will still think that you like those people. The people who you're like, let's say someone's a HODLBOT reply guy, he replies to everything and you just like all his replies, you would start seeing his like Kind1 root notes more often. So that's sort of like how it would work right now.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, like, plurality of algorithms is the way to go. It solves all these problems. Like, oh, so your particular habits for social media totally break the algorithm that this guy provides. Well, great. Just use something else. I like the example you used of the rage bait algorithm. Like, you know, today I'm feeling in an argumentative mood. Let's find someone who's wrong and respond to them, you know?
Yeah.
Have you thought about, like, the... I guess you'd call it the medium at all. So, you know, algorithms are generally associated with feeds, right? So an algorithm gets a bunch of content, mashes it together, and then presents it in a particular order, usually reverse chronological, but not necessarily. Over a year ago now, I still haven't integrated it into anything real, but I built keepub.coracle.social, and it surfaces profiles rather than notes, and it selects those profiles based on people who post infrequently, but who you still follow, right? So instead of seeing Sir Sleepy, who is prolific and never sleeps, at least from my perspective, in the United States, you would see the person who has only posted once in the last month, and their notes would be promoted. And I'm sure there's other permutations of that, like, you know, potentially topics that are, I guess Twitter has this, you know, has like trending topics, stuff like that. So other ways of articulating the content and serving it that don't rely on a big, long, disconnected list of content.
Yeah, I guess I haven't thought too much about that. Like, really, the next things that I'm working on for Algo Relay were to add the articles, and to add NIP20 for the pictures. But it was really just following along those same lines. Like you're mentioning it, and now I'm thinking, like, okay, yeah, maybe there are some more things to consider, but like, I haven't thought about that at all, actually. So I don't want to just like say something stupid, but, that is something that I should probably look into. Yeah.
Yeah. I have some logic for it in a client. It would be pretty easy to throw that into a DVM or onto a relay or something like that. Obviously, to make it performant and scale, you wouldn't want to just pull things on demand. But what does that look like on the back end of Katru? Like, I've looked at your code a little bit, but do you have an index that kind of scrapes the network, or are you doing outbox on demand when a request comes in?
So for Algo Relay?
Yeah.
So what Algo Relay does is it, like, most of the work is not in the Katru part of it. It's just like custom code. But basically what it's doing is just connecting to like the top, like 60, 70 relays, opening up all those connections and then pulling in every single note. And it just has like a massive database that it keeps, but it also purges it pretty often. Like, the algorithm only takes recent data. So, you know, if you were, you used to be a shitcoiner and now you're a Bitcoiner, like, the algorithm's going to learn that real fast. So yeah, I mean, that's basically how it works. It has its whole huge index. And then what we're adding now on top of it is, like, so I'm pulling all the data and just mass saving it and creating indexes on one hand. But then there's a whole other process that's now going to start reading it and make connections, classify it, start adjusting weightings for certain things. Like, just like as a quick example, if you reply to a note, we should know whether or not you're like mad or happy with the note or neutral. Just so like we could, for example, like stop showing you people that make you mad when you reply to them. So all of that is like not Katru related. It's not really Nostr related. It's just sort of like reading the index. So that's sort of like the process of how it works. And then how we actually assemble the feed is like, and if anybody can run their own Algo Relay as well, there's like a score that comes for every single note. So we look at, like, you know, who are your favorite authors and how popular are their notes or whatever. And then you can determine how much weight you want to give to all those factors. Like, are recent posts, you know, more valuable than someone you follow, or do you not want to see viral posts versus putting all your weight into them? So like, how you actually score and rank the notes that are in the index is like the configuration part that anyone can do.
That sounds awesome. Can you score based on number of notes in the time period? So if someone has 1,000 notes, you can penalize them versus someone who has 10, because that might just like solve my problem.
No, but that's actually pretty easy. I mean, I could add that as a factor very easily. Yeah. but it doesn't happen.
Maybe I'll look into that. I'll add that to my giant list of things that I want to get done.
Yeah, PR it, man. I'd merge it.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see. We've got a couple other things. You've got the Web of Trust relay. That is like a personal relay, right? So that's just hard-coded to a single pub key, and you see what people in that person's network. Is that kind of how that works?
No, Web of Trust, I would say it's more like a public relay. So it basically whitelists 2 degrees from the relay owner. So I run the relay. Everybody who I follow is whitelisted. That's the first degree. And then everybody who they follow are also whitelisted. So those 2 degrees are all whitelisted. And it basically just, it assumes that people don't follow spammers. Okay. Like maybe you follow people that I personally hate, but they'll still be allowed to post to the relay because they're not a spammer, most likely. So that's really what it's meant to do. Like it is supposed to be like a public type infrastructure, but just instead of blacklisting and like doing a lot of work on moderation, it just tries to like whitelist in a very smart way.
Which is honestly like a beautiful way to solve the Uncle Jim model, you know, instead of like maintaining whitelists and doing invite codes and stuff like that, especially with the 2 levels of Web of Trust. Like, you know, if I set your Web of Trust relay as a destination for my notes, if it was only 1 level deep and you unfollow me, then I'm out. My notes aren't getting published anymore. I've been censored. But if it's 2 levels deep, like, you know, there's probably 100+ people who follow.
In mine, there's 40,000 people that can post through network. 40,000.
Yeah, it's a big list.
It's a
and then, you know, is the threshold 1 or is it like if it's a 2-level follow, it has to meet a certain threshold of like 1% of the people you follow also follow that person or something like that? Because like, you know, if one person follows the EtherFi airdrop, then, you know, they're in. But, you know, if you make it a threshold of 10, 20 people or something like that, it resists Sybil attacks. Do you have that threshold in there?
Yeah, there is the threshold. It's just any follows in the network. And you can set whatever you want. So the one I've set is 3. So if 3 people inside the Web of Trust follow an NPUB, then that NPUB is allowed to be in the Web of Trust, basically.
That's fantastic. That could also be useful for community relays, you know, your member list evolves based on who people actually follow and trust. And once you reach a certain threshold, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Where, you know, you got social clustering, right? In an open network, and that's represented by follow graphs plus, you know, other interactions. But if you can quantify that, you can actually create siloed spaces that represent a particular social cluster. And so, you know, I'm always talking about my church community. If I set a really high threshold of like 30 people have to follow from like my pastor or something like that, you know, it would be only people in my church community. And then, you know, at the edges, you'd probably have to maintain whitelists or something like that. But that could be a super good solution. So why have you built all these different relays, and what's your favorite? Is it like an experimentation thing, or are all these things like, this is a great idea, everyone should have access to this? Like, what's your mentality when putting these projects together?
I guess a couple of things is, one, I just do have sort of like a sense of responsibility. Like I really want Noster to succeed for like humanitarian reasons, you know, like I've personally been burned by social media sites. I was banned from Twitter plenty of times for saying stuff that was like not that crazy, you know, like I'm actually not that much of an extremist. You know, sometimes my memes are a little questionable.
You have some of the best memes, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. So, yeah, like I feel a sense of responsibility, but I'm not writing JavaScript. So fuck that. So that basically just leaves relays for me to work on. So that's sort of like part one. Like part two is also like there is some sort of like business incentive. Like we want the Bitvora brand to be very developer, like we want to reach developers, we want developers to know about us, and we want to be respected in the developer community. So by providing great free and open source software, it might be like a way for us to build our brand. So that's part of it as well. But probably just the main thing is I'm building the relays for myself. There are products that I use first and foremost, like Web of Trust. That came because there was Reply Guy everywhere. And it was just pissing me off. And I didn't think anybody had a good solution. So Web of Trust Relay was built so just I could just go into Amethyst and put one relay, just one relay, and it pulled in everything that I wanted from all the people that I wanted, and I could just read off one relay. That was why I built it. So that was on that. And then two was basically like, everything was running off StirFry, and like StirFry was an amazing innovation in the speed. Like Noster is fast because StirFry is fast, you know, like that. So it's not to poop on StirFry at all. But if you want to customize StirFry, you have to write JavaScript plugins. So for me, like I said, I'm not writing JavaScript. Okay. I'm just not going to do that. And I also think that regular people who are not developers, like maybe they're good at like infrastructure, like DevOps, but they're not actually JavaScript developers. They now cannot write their own plugins for StirFry. So I wanted to have sort of like one click or just very easy to install relays that anyone can run. Especially like just having personal relays. I think that's a really important idea. That it's just very easy to run personal relays. So that's sort of like where Haven came along. I know you're a user of Haven. And actually, when we were DMing, like I've made a note about it, like you can see in Amethyst that the DMs only went to my relay and your relay. They didn't go to anywhere else. You know, like that is actually extremely good privacy and UX. Extremely good. Like maybe already better than like, you know, Signal and all these other, or maybe even better than Simplex. I don't know, you know, because it didn't go through anybody's servers. There was no chance to be intercepted. So, you know, like, again, like Haven, I just built it for myself. I look at the Amethyst config. It's saying, what's your inbox? What's your outbox? What's your DM or whatever? And I was like, I just want one relay that I could just fill this whole configuration out. Yeah, so that was that. And then same thing with algorithms. Like I'm talking about the clunky UX. Like I could sit there and make notes about, oh, clients, you suck at making UX or whatever. But or I could like actually help and be like, all right, for new users, hey, here's a relay feed that they could use, you know, before they build a feed. So, yeah, like that's sort of like my overarching ethos when I'm building these relays is I'm really just building them for myself and what I want to use.
That's the way to go. Stuff you build for yourself is always the worst. It's always the best because you notice the mistakes and the flaws, and you can work them out over time. And you're inspired to do something that's worthwhile. You're not guessing at what someone else needs. Yeah, that's fantastic. Like we were saying before, I think there is an insane amount of untapped potential for these kind of things, both in terms of what relays are actually providing and also how clients can use them. How like community admins and like Noster is so many permutations of different things. I don't think we're anywhere close to finding the best practices. We have a lot of established practices, but most of them honestly suck. They're really low hanging fruit and we can do so much better. It's just going to take some time. All right. So the last feed I want to talk about is your news feed. Was that kind of a scratch your own itch sort of thing too? You wanted to find out what's going in the world, what going on in the world without having to, you know, actually, you know, get through paywalls and log on to CNN and stuff? Or,
I guess the main thing was like, I still had Twitter for reading. So like, I don't like post or like try to build a brand on Twitter, but like, I still want to know what's going on in the world. You know, like I don't just want to see Bitcoin shit all day. But I don't want to leave Noster, right? So that was basically that. It's like, how can I just like bring the real world news right onto Noster so I don't have to use other apps? Yeah, so that was the genesis of that. But also like mixed with that is I've just been having fun making bots, you know, like I made my first bot maybe like 3 months ago or something, like UTXO's bot that just like spams everyone GM. It's a terrible bot. I should really like every time I reboot my relay, it comes back online. And I have to like remember to go stop it. Sometimes I don't. It just pisses everyone off. So yeah, like no one really liked that one. But then they liked Rectbot, you know, the one that does the liquidations.
Oh yeah.
But also, like, you know, Rekbot is making money. It's a low amount, but people zap Rekbot, you know? So I was like, well, that's like, cool. Yeah,
it's small.
Nice. I mean, it's not much. It's made like 20 bucks or something, but hey.
Yeah,
like,
but you make 1,000 bots, and if Nostr users 10 or 100x, you've got something there. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like it's got potential. So on Newsbot, like that's part of, that's the smaller part. The bigger part is just like, I personally want the news. And you know, it's not a lot of work. It's very basic. It's just an RSS reader. It's extremely basic. Anybody can do it, but nobody really was doing it. Or the ones that we did have were like Mastodon bridges, and then they're not very reliable. They're not Nostr native. So that's why I whipped those together. I'm a little bit slacking on adding new ones. I should probably do that maybe next week. But yeah, it's been pretty busy in the new year.
Yeah, I love the bot. I like that you have a separate feed for each one. They all have different pub keys, but then there's the relay that collects them all together. Makes it really easy to work with. And like writing bots is super easy. I wrote a bot and I call the Mistral API every 6 or 8 hours or something like that with the last several events that are published by the news feed from your relay. And then it summarizes it and publishes those as notes. So I don't read your bots directly. I read an AI that summarizes the relay that serves your bots' notes, which is great, like confidentiality. Yeah, I keep wondering when there's like going to be an infinite loop on Nostr, where through like a 12-step process, you know, things are consuming their own output, and then it just like floods the network with wave function collapse spam. It'll be beautiful when it happens anyway.
I think whoever's running the GPUs will figure it out and turn it off. But they need too much money.
Yeah. It was actually funny. I was noticing yesterday that my bot, it's called News Stash, just to keep it a little bit less serious, because it is an LLM and it's completely wrong most of the time. It with the inauguration, the Trump inauguration, it's getting really confused. And I think it's because like it was probably, Mistral was probably trained on a bunch of media, you know, 4-3 years ago. And so it associates Trump with COVID and with Biden getting into office. So it's been reporting the inauguration as Biden is starting his term and Trump is leaving the White House. It even had something about COVID. It was like, COVID is the worst pandemic you've ever seen. Like, I felt a little shell shock, honestly, seeing that. But you know, is it happening again? No, it's bird flu this time. Come on.
Yeah, it's AI is not that good unless you're like the top. Like, I'm sure OpenAI could like do it if you want to pay for those queries, but like all the like open source LLMs, like they're not very good. At least I haven't seen very good ones yet.
Yeah, they're okay. They're enough to be almost useful. But yeah, like Claude and ChatGPT and Apple's AI, I tried that this morning. I generated an image of a coracle and it was pretty good. It was better than what I got out of Midjourney. So like they're decent, but I mean, definitely plateauing, and you got to use them heavily supervised, you know.
Yes.
Or just put them out there and just tell people, like, you know, caveat emptor, this is a robot.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get banned for misinformation now.
Yeah. Banned from Coracle. Yeah. Nostr. Yep.
Yeah. See what happens. So what's next? Like, do you have any feeds that you want to build? Do you have any projects you're working on? Where are you at?
So I was playing with an idea of like, I just put some really shitty code out yesterday. It's not good, and I'm not like totally proud of it, but I did an outbox feed relay. So basically it's like, okay, if your client's not going to do outbox, just add this relay and now your feed is doing outbox. Because like, so I tried using only clients that did outbox, but I still just found myself going back to Amethyst, man. Just like end of the day, I just want Nostr on my phone. And I want all the features of Amethyst, but it doesn't have outbox. So I'm like, okay, how can I just like add this relay that will make Amethyst outbox for me? So I did that. But the thing is, like, it's not very good. because it's not doing Outbox in a smart way. It's just like, okay, what's the whole universe of relays that I need? And because I'm on a server and I have unlimited data, I'm just like, whatever, just ask for all the authors from like fucking 120 relays. So I'm thinking about making that better, like just doing it smart, like asking the right relays for the right authors, like just making it more efficient. But really, probably just the main thing is really building out Alga Relay. You know, I have the OpenSats grant for it. So I'm fully committed to working on it for a full year. And it's still what I'm most excited about. It's just, it's way slower because it's very complex. This project, you know, like Haven or these other like simple whitelisting relays, those are so easy. You could do them in a few hours. But like on Alga Relay, I adjust a few things and now the whole thing's broken. It doesn't work. So things are kind of slow on it, but that's probably like the main feature. And like what Nostr users can expect from me this year is a huge improvement in how the algorithm works. But I think part of my job on that too is just like keep campaigning for clients to actually build relay feeds so people can actually use Algo Relay. Because yeah, like I feel like if it's not in the big mobile clients, then it's basically pointless, you know? So really gotta, you'll see me bugging Will and Vitor more, I think.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. So one feature request on the Algo Relay, when you get around to it someday, is it'd be cool to have an interface where users can tune the algorithm for their own public key, right? So you auth with it and then you get a different algorithm because you've actually tuned your algo. So it's the same relay. You don't have to do anything extra, but it behaves differently. That'd be pretty cool. And you could probably build a business model. Like, you know, the default algo is free, but if you want to tune your algo, like, you know, pay a subscription or something like that.
Yeah, actually, just quickly on that point. So that's in the roadmap that I submitted to OpenSats. So how it's going to work is you'll go on the browser to algo.utxo.1. You log in with Nostr, and then there'll just be sliders for the weights that you want. Like if you really just want to see things that you zap and you're like you just like people's posts, but they're kind of meaningless for you, you can just put the weight at zero for likes, but really turn up the zaps. So everybody could log in and adjust their own weights for the algorithm. If they don't want to actually go out there and run their own algorithm, they could override the defaults that I've set. So that's going to happen this year.
Nice. That's exciting. Cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what you keep coming out with. You're like pretty prolific, lots of projects. So, yeah, I appreciate you and, appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking about all that stuff. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, like any final thoughts or like other projects? This has been one long Bitvora commercial, but
no, just I appreciate you too, man. Like the Nostr dev community, we're pretty small, and we got a lot of work on our shoulders, you know. So I appreciate you. I appreciate all of the devs out there. I know I complain about clients. I hope you guys complain about relays. Like, it's the only way we got to share feedback with each other, you know? And we have to work together, relay and client developers, to make the best UX. So I appreciate all you guys out there. And thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we'll see you all on Nostr.
All right, man. Cheers.